Welcome to Paint Ed. Hey, I'm Chris Schenk, the education guy at the Painting Contractors Association, providing painting contractors with the training and connections they need to grow their business. To find out more, visit pdca.org. Perhaps nothing plagues business owners and entrepreneurs more than ideas. So many ideas, so little time and people power. How do you wade through the continually sprawling swamp of too many ideas and make a few things actually come alive and build momentum? On this episode of Paint Ed, Madeline McCray, a business growth strategist at M.M. McCray Coaching and Consulting, talks with us about how to get all those ideas out of your head and into a system that plugs them into real goals or gets rid of them. It's actually very simple, but if you listen to the podcast, you'll learn why simple doesn't quite let you off the hook. Hey, Madeline, welcome to Paint Ed.
Hey, Chris, so excited to be back with you.
Yes, we have had some neat interactions, you and I and you and the PDCA membership and just people in the industry. You came to our expo and you presented about attracting talent, right?
I did. We talked about some really core hiring concepts, kind of the actions to take before you start to bring people in. So it was really fun. The group was super engaged. It was an awesome session.
Yeah, I heard some really good things. I know that people want to hear you back. And so you and I were talking, and we always get lost in conversation because you're an ideator. I feel like I'm that type of ideator, or at least I'm a learner. So I fit well together with other ideators because I'm like, tell me more about that. And then all of a sudden we're into this new area that I've never been in. I'm like, this is a new world. Tell me about the rules of this new world.
But I love it.
It's a lot of fun. And so as I was saying before, right before we got on the podcast, I was saying, let's just start talking and have fun in front of people, because that is what people are in this big game for, you know, like not just the fun, but you want to have fun while you're doing some meaningful things, right?
Absolutely.
And so I think you communicate that really well. And so some of the things I know that after the expo, you and I had this conversation about, okay, so people have all these ideas and they're thinking about what do I do with all these ideas, or how do I put them into practice? Because there can be a lot. And you mentioned there's other ways people are gathering some of those new ideas. I mean, it's the beginning of the year too. It's the perfect time to think about, okay, what new do I want to do and how do I go about doing that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can get a good idea from anything. As entrepreneurs, our brains are always geared towards the next big thing. Mm. What's that big shiny object? What's that cool idea that sparks that level of interest, that reignites my fire, that that can come from conversations with cool people like you? It can come from listening to podcasts, reading books, talking to other entrepreneurs. It could come from watching someone's cool ad on TV and being like, ooh, that's cool. Whatever it is, we get into this mindset of let's do this, let's try that. And we start to overwhelm ourselves with a ton of good ideas. And the kind of the problem is that they're all good ideas, right? Mm. It's not that one idea is a horrible idea. It's like you're faced with 25 excellent things you could do. Mm. And now what? Because having all those things to do, especially as you're growing, as you're going from that, you know, 1-2 million to 3-5, you have to change as an entrepreneur in order not to burn out your team. You just keep throwing stuff at them, they're going to freak out.
Yeah, all those ideas. And then as you grow in your business too, more money, more problems, right? I mean, you have more ideas that you want to fix all these things, but as you grow, you're having more problems that you need more ideas for, and then it just kind of keeps escalating. How do you get off that treadmill? Like, what happens? What's your suggestion?
So I have a really simple process that I teach called hell yes, hell no, and maybe. It sounds ultra simple because it is. Okay. Yeah. So the first thing before you even start grabbing your sheets of paper to do this process, there's two pre-steps. The first one is to get all those exciting ideas out of your brain and onto paper. I'm a huge fan of the pen and paper approach, like really, truly write it out, because it's a tactile experience and you're engaging more of your senses. And you're actually almost editing as you go, because you won't put like a mediocre idea down on paper where you might type it into your tablet. Right. So I actually am a huge fan of the pen and paper because it engages more of your senses. But, you know, grab your tablet, grab a piece of paper and just brain dump every good idea that you're thinking, ooh, I would like to, I should, I ought to, that was awesome. And just dump it onto the paper. There's no judgment here. It can be the world's worst idea or the next best thing. It doesn't even matter. Because it's just a matter of getting it out of your brain, the jumbling around.
Yeah,
So
it's interesting. Yeah, I've heard before that we have as much need to express the inner world as we do to internalize the outer world. There's as much going on inside that we're not handling, we're not seeing, we're not visualizing. And so we get kind of wrapped up in external things and outward manifestations. And there's just a whole lot you need to literally, very literally get out. And I think it's important that you said sometimes you put down some of your better ideas because you start writing it out and you realize that's dumb. But so there's kind of a catch 22 there, but a little bit because you're looking at this and thinking, oh, that was a dumb idea. You realize that when you wrote it. But like you said, though, no judgment, right?
Because what seems like a dumb idea right now may actually end up being a brilliant idea in 5 months, right? So the validity of an idea or an approach or a new concept is often shifted by the circumstances. So what might work for you when you're doing $500,000 might not serve you when you're doing five. So it's a no judgment zone for you to put down your ideas because you never know when you're going to use them. And just because it hit the paper does not mean that you're going to use it right now. And it does not mean that you're going to use it ever, doesn't mean that you won't use it, right? There's just a totally judgment-free zone. You shouldn't be wondering whether or not it's a good idea. Just put it out there because another really important thing is that when we have ideas that we feel compelled, whether it's a should or a would like to or just a cool thing want to explore, whenever you have a lot of good ideas in your mind, you are using energy, mental energy, to hold on to that idea so you don't forget it, so you don't lose it. And even if we're not consciously aware of it, all those things that we would like to do, want to do, have to do are using up our mental energy because we're holding on to them in our brain, right? So in order to let that go, to release the grip and be able to redirect that energy sort towards something more productive other than storage, is to get them out of our heads and into a concrete space, whether that's, your pen and paper approach or an Excel sheet or however you best keep track of those sort of inspired ideas. So that is pre-step number one, is to get all of those great ideas out of your mind onto paper, so that you stop wasting energy holding on to them, and so that you have somewhere to go to reference them.
I love it. It sounds easy, and very few of us probably do that on a regular basis. I do it. I do it on my phone in my notes section, and I also have a little notepad where I do that in. And I have notepads all over the place, but I mean, I try to keep some of those centralized if I can. But it's simple, but good, and we don't
It's
do enough of
powerful,
it. Yeah.
right? So don't confuse simple with easy. They're not the same word, right? They're two totally different concepts. We conflate the two and we always think, oh, that's so simple. It must be easy. It's not, right? It takes discipline to do this. My little trick that I use, because I'm a huge notebook person, I have like different books for everything, is the back pages of my notebook I always reserve for fresh ideas. So something that's like, oh, I want to do that. I literally open to the back flap and I write it on those back pages. So anytime I'm doing my brain dump, like getting everything into one centralized location, I always know where all those notes are.
And then
That's what
memories are formed better when they're connected to some action, like you said, other senses. You can see it happen. Like when you're reading, I'm all about paper books. Okay, remember the digital ebook versus paper book kind of thing? Like I was always like, oh, paper, you got to have the thing in your hand. But I think for me, I am able to remember what I read based upon where it was at on the page and how far through the book I was. I also circle things and underline and write notes, not
Me
because I
too.
always go to it. I do go back to find things, but because as I'm doing that, it's ingraining that deeper into my mind and my memory. It's called loci mnemonics. It's actually just based on your environment and the way everything's set up, you remember it in that setup, in that environment. So anyway, I think it's important for a lot of reasons. Okay, precept one, that's really good.
Yeah, so that's number one. The next thing to do is to be really clear about your main focus. Right? So there's a myth in our culture that multitasking is like the best thing to do. Got to do lots of things all at once in order to get anywhere. And the truth is that multitasking actually takes away from your effective achievement of singular items. Multitasking is for tasks, which means checkoffable items you got to do to keep things moving forward. There's no such thing as multi-goaling.
Oh.
Not effective multi-goaling.
Ooh, I like that.
Right?
Chills. Chills.
Yeah. So wait for it. There's going to be a couple other cool things.
Okay.
So We all have, you've got to have, of course, your financial goals, your revenue goals, your sales goals. So the number that you want to achieve. So that's a presuppose. We all have got that. And if we don't, this is the moment to go create that for your business. You know, what do you want to end the year at in terms of a revenue number or a profit number, whichever number you gauge by. But that is not like the thing. Right? There are other things you need to do in your business to accomplish those goals. And you might have three or four critical things that you're going to be working on throughout the year to move that forward. The larger your business, the more executive team members you have who you can devote to different goals, the more goals you can try to accomplish as a unit. Right. So if your VP of marketing is working on something, and then your operations director is working on something else, and your HR person's working on totally something different, each one of them can have one thing, one main goal that when they accomplish that goal, you know it's going to serve your greater plan, right? Help you get to that number, help you achieve it more fully. Now, a lot of people listening to the podcast might be, owner-operator sort of businesses, or they might only have a really small team. So this is a really difficult step, and it takes so much trust in yourself that I've watched a lot of people not do it to their own detriment. I'm going to say straight out to their own detriment. So commit to one major thing, one big goal that you know is going to help you move towards that financial number. That's going to serve the growth of your business. It might be, my goal this year is really to refine my marketing strategy and execute on that. My goal this year is to really get rock solid on my back office support systems and processes so that we flawlessly execute. My one big goal this year is to make a rock solid people process so that I know for sure I can bring on great team members.
Somebody out there, I hear them saying it right now. I hear you, sir or madam. You are saying, but come on, a business owner has 100 things they have to do and 100 things they have to change and innovate. We can't just focus on one. Let's be realistic. And how would you answer that?
So I would answer that as, oh, my friend, I know that you're a skeptic because I've worked with hundreds of small business owners who were exactly saying the same thing. So it's what I call going slow to go fast. I'm not saying you can't do your 100 things. I'm saying you can't do them at once. It's a very different concept. We're used to action, 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 action. Run around in 25 different directions and expect to get somewhere. Where if we stopped running after 24 of those things and we legit put our focus on the first one and rolled that ball over the finish line, we would have more time to do more things.
And to jump on board with that too, I loved your distinction between tasks and goals. You maybe have 100 tasks, but that's different from a goal. So
Right.
I love that idea too, because I do I believe you, and I'm on board. And it's one of those things that sounds simple, it's not easy, because you can say, hey, I want to focus on changing this marketing goal or reaching this or developing social media, or you can focus on that while maintaining some other tasks, but you have to
Sure.
clearly know the difference, and I don't think we always do.
Right. It's really easy to get caught up in the when you're doing your data dump, like the pre-step number one that we talked about, to put your like, well, I've got to call this customer back. I've got to follow up with that vendor. That's tasks. That's not big picture stuff. So when I'm talking about you're going to pick your one thing, think about it as a strategic objective. Think about it as a big picture. It might take 25 sub small steps to get that one big thing done. Right? It's not just gonna, you're gonna focus on it for 1 week and voila, it's done. Then that's probably should move to your task list, not onto your goals, ideas.
I got a question. It's kind of a sidebar. I know
Go ahead.
we're already at 15 minutes here,
All
but
good.
do you think people need help owning that responsibility of staying focused on that goal? Because you're going to have people like, hey, well, why aren't we doing this? Or why don't we do that? And nobody's more guilty than me of bringing up 100 new things that we ought to be doing and ways to re-steer this whole system. And really, as a leader, you have to own that responsibility and shoulder this. I am going to set one goal. This is what we're focusing on as a company this year. We're going to maintain a lot of these things, all these tasks, but this the one goal, the strategic objective, like you mentioned, is going to be this. And that takes some centeredness, wouldn't you say?
It does. It takes a lot of self-discipline. So I'll be honest, I have coaches, right? I have a speaking coach who helps me be a really excellent speaker. I have a business coach who helps me be an excellent business owner. And that really helps because as a small business owner, it's hard to find a group of peers who you connect with on a regular basis. You know, it's actually one of the programs we offer is that sort of peer group program. We call it CEO Mastery. But having either a dedicated business coach who will help hold you accountable or a group of peers who will support you in keeping your one goal in mind is really helpful because it's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day action items and the day-to-day tasks because it's really fulfilling to take that task list and check things off and be like, yeah, I got that done. But that's not really, that's the urgent things that if you don't do them, your business will tank.
That's
that's what it is.
That's administrative work, right? I mean, that's kind of, okay, got it. So so precept number two is differentiating between tasks and goals.
Yep. So precept number one is data dump. Get everything out of your head. Precept number two is focus on your one goal. Like choose your one goal. Okay. Just choose it. So, and then the process is very simple. You take your one goal, you grab a clean piece of paper, right? New tab in your notes. You put whatever, however you're doing it. And you write your one goal across the top. Okay. So let's say it's, we'll say sharpen up your marketing strategy. Okay. Let's say that's the one thing that you're really focused on this year, improving your marketing strategy so you can get better results, right? So better lead flow, et cetera, all the ripple effects. Mm-hmm. Put that on the top. And then you make three columns. The first column is hell yes, right? The second column is hell no, like certainly not going to help me get there. And the third column is maybe. The maybe column is like, you know what? I'm not so sure if this idea is really going to help me improve my marketing strategy or not. I don't know. Would using a new CRM help me improve my marketing strategy? Not really sure. So that could go in the maybe column, right? Mm-hmm. So then you take your first sheet of all your ideas, your data dump, and you go idea by idea and you assign it to a column.
Oh, neat.
Right? You say it's, so let's say for instance, you're going to work with a new marketing firm. Well, that could certainly help you improve your marketing strategy. So that goes under hell yes, right? Reach out to this new marketing firm. Maybe you're going to, another thing on your paper is to hire a, I don't know, I'm just going to use this example, hire a operations director. Well, that's not actually going to help you with your marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. So for this goal specifically, it goes in the hell no column.
Right.
Everything goes in a column. And here's the scary part. Once you're done, you cross off column two, which is hell no.
Right.
You say, I am choosing not to do any of these things right now because they're not in service to my bigger goal. And you also cross off everything in the maybe column.
Oh, we're going to have to edit that out. I think you accidentally said you're going to cross out everything in the maybe column. We can go back. We can go back and do that over, Madeline.
You're like, wait a minute. Don't edit it out. It's one of those moments.
Okay. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Crossing out the maybes.
So here's the thing. If it's not clear to you as the owner of the goal, as the leader of the, we'll call it the project, that an initiative is going to move that needle forward, we don't do it. If it's not a hell yes, it's a no. Even if it's a maybe. Right?
Yeah, that's so tough. That's tough. Because those are our babies. We have some of our babies in that column.
Yes. So here's the great news about this. When you do this disciplined approach, you will only focus on the things from the hell yes column. Only focus on the things from the certainly that's a go column.
Right?
It'll be a short list. You'll get those things done because you're going to give it daily, weekly, monthly focus. And within a couple of months, you might have accomplished your goal.
Right.
And then you put a new title on the paper you go back to your list, and you'll find that it happens every time. Way more things on that list got done than just the things in the yes column. It just happens by ripple effect.
Wow.
You put a new title, and then maybe your title, the next thing that you do is that we're going to shore up our operations process, right? That maybe that's the next thing. We really need to put focus on the operational pieces of the business. So of course, hiring that ops director would go in a hell yes column now, right? So things shift based on your current area of focus. And I know that sounds scary, but the truth is it takes discipline to take that measured step to go slowly. But when you get good at it, you gain momentum so, so much more quickly.
Yeah. And what would you trade for momentum and inspiration and belief? I've said that before, that, wow, if you could just believe you could accomplish the things you're trying to get at, you'll have all the resources that will magically appear all around you to get that thing done. There is something magical that happens with belief and confidence. I mean, think about it. Just use that confidence word. If belief sounds too religious or spiritual or whatever it sounds like to somebody, but confidence, we all can say in business relationships and business efforts, really gets you where you need to go because you're just more aware. You know of what resources are going to help facilitate your pursuit of that goal. You are better aware of how to make connections. You're just utilizing all your resources. You're able to push yourself further, and it's just everything. It's everything if you have that.
Yeah.
So when you do these things and you're accomplishing things and you build that momentum, it builds your confidence, it builds your belief in everything. So it's all about one thing at a time, right? It's like debt. You got to kind of you can't keep deferring things because you want more stuff. You know, you got to pay off some stuff, roll in what you would have paid for that thing that's now resolved, it's done, it's paid for. Right. Now you could take that extra cash or those resources and that bandwidth now you have to attack the next problem. Then you take all that and it keeps rolling and the momentum builds. And wow, we see people who could do that really well. And we see what magic that is in their lives. And I think we all want that for sure.
Yeah, and this is a very simple. So I want to give a little shout out to one of the coaches who actually first introduced me to this idea. Her name is Andrea Lee. And she presented this idea to me. It changed my life. Mm. It changed my business because I used to try and do 5, 6, 7, 8 things at a time. And then you don't get any of them done, right? Months and months go by and you don't get the joy and the delight and the excitement of accomplishing your goals. So you start to teach yourself very subtly, very subconsciously that you're not an achiever, right? Mm. That you don't get things done, that projects linger way longer than what they should. Mm-hmm. Where when you take this disciplined approach, I'm going to be just totally transparent here. At first it feels weird because you're doing much less. Mm. But you're going slow initially on purpose. You're doing less intentionally so that you can collectively do more.
Love it. That's the way to get some wins on your record, you know?
Heck yeah.
We were talking about dogs in the office. This is a great little segue here. we were talking about dogs and how they age. And man, you don't ever know that there's a problem until they're out. They're just done. They're just down. They can hardly walk. They're just super ill or something like that. And hopefully it can be fixed. Okay, let's say that. But with people, we're down sometimes, down for the count even before we're really down, like before we really need to be. If we get it in our head that things are going down, we'll just succumb. We'll just succumb to it. And we get depressed and we lose energy. We lose focus. Your brain doesn't work too well with decision making. I mean, all these things, because we as human beings, we overanalyze, we're afraid of the future and things like that. That's why it's so important not to get over. You can't let yourself get there because we will just give out before it's time, before we really need to. So what I'm trying to say is, like, let's be like a dog and not give up until it's really time. Let's keep getting those wins. Let's live it up and really stay focused on what we need to accomplish those goals, because every new goal you accomplish is renewed energy for the next thing, and new resources will come to bear on your energy.
The reason that I'm so passionate about this process is that it serves me all the time. I use it all the time because whenever I get inspired by a really cool idea, I can be inspired without any pressure because I don't have to do anything with that idea right now, right? I know that I'll put it in the back of my notebook. I'll put it somewhere where I will be absolutely able to use it when the time is right. Mm. And so in the past, I used to get inspired by all of these ideas and feel like I've got to do something with them right now or else. And now I don't feel that way at all. I rely on my process. I use this process all of the time, and I rely on it to allow me to feel the joy and the inspiration and the excitement of new ideas without the pressure of immediate execution.
I love it. You just kind of plug them into the system and let the system do its work.
Absolutely. That's right. Cool. So I know where my ideas are going to go. And in corporate, we used to call that putting things in the parking lot. But the parking lot in corporate was always where ideas went to die, right? Once they got in the parking lot, they'd never get out.
It was the junkyard.
So, yeah, it's like, yeah, we should have called it, put chuck that in the junkyard. We just call it the parking lot because nobody wanted to deal with it. We're being really indirect about, that's a sucky idea. No one's going to use it.
Wouldn't that be great if like there's a big board up and you had like this little sign that said parking lot, and one day somebody pulled off that little sign and it said junkyard behind it?
Yeah,
and
you're junkyard. Just
like, oh, this makes more sense.
The place where good ideas go to die. But that, so I always used to feel like that in corporate. So that's why that urgency to execute became a real thing for me. And as I transitioned, I was only in corporate for 5 years. I've been in the entrepreneurial space for a long time. Mm-hmm. So as I transitioned out of my corporate job back into an entrepreneurial role, that pressure stayed with me. That, ooh, I better execute that now or else it's going to go to the graveyard of ideas, right? Mm-hmm. So now I know that that's not the case. Right? Some ideas are absolutely brilliant and I'm not ready for them for whatever reason. And I just put them in my notebook and they go on my brainstorming list. And anytime I'm ready to focus on a new topic, I whip out that list and voila, I've got 30 amazing ideas that I can use to propel myself towards the goal that I'd forgotten about long ago.
Yeah. And you know, some people, I think they feel like they've made promises to a lot of people. Like, I need to do this because I told such and such a person or company that I would do it and everybody's expecting. And then I'm going to be a failure. I mean, it'd be nice to be able to say, no, let's pull back a little bit because we're not going to get everything done really well. We'll only get a few things done very well. But also it reminds you that next time, don't make so many promises. Like if you don't have this good idea in your head before you start that whole thing, then you'll be right in the middle of all these 100 promises again. So, you know, hopefully people can scale back a little bit and figure out a way to get that goal in mind. But, you know, if you're deciding not to, then maybe next time around, you'll just know ahead of time, don't make so many promises.
Right.
Make a couple or make one.
Yeah.
You know, right.
And even then, let's say you're making a promise to someone who's going to be a vendor for you. You're paying them to help you. So even if you promise to use their services, if you say, you know what? My priorities have changed. I've been working with a business coach. I've been listening to this awesome podcast. And I decided that, you know, I'm going to stick to a different priority right now. So I am going to come back to you when I'm ready. Mm-hmm. Right? Instead of having them chase you and follow up and email you and follow up and you feel guilty all the time, just be transparent and say, you know what? I know I said I would do this. I still fully intend to do it. It's just not right now for me.
Right. I'm going to queue it up in my system.
That's it.
It's the old Netflix queue. I don't think that's relevant anymore. I just dated myself. I mean, we're dating ourselves based upon how we refer to Netflix. Isn't that wonderful? Anyway, so let me ask you, how do people find out more? I said this before, you talk differently, you have different ideas, and I know you come from a big corporate background, but you understand business ownership, you're doing it yourself, you're helping a lot of other people. Where do people find more about you and what you do?
Yeah, so you can actually do two things. The first one is to go to my website, which is mmmcrae.com. And the other thing, which isn't anywhere public on the site, so it's a secret link, is to sign up for my weekly blog. So I do a weekly blog. It's private, so we don't publish it anywhere else except to our list. So if you want to hear more cool things, sign up for that. And it's mmmcrae.com/access. I'm sure that will be in the show notes, which is a really, really awesome way to stay in touch with what we do, that weekly inspiration, those fresh new ideas, hold yourself accountable. And then if you want to hear more about our CEO Mastery Program, go to my website again, which is mmmcrae.com, and shoot us over a note and we'll get you some information on it.
Sweet. Thank you so much for being on Paint Ed.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Paint Ed podcasts are a product of the Painting Contractors Association. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PDCA and getting access to advanced resources for your business, visit pdca.org. We'll see you next time.